step on down.
Long wait.
I have two items this morning. First one is on the agenda is a discussion on change of zone number 1677 filed on behalf of Old Town Point LLC. And we can do this two different ways. We can have a discussion, or I can read you a letter we just received on Friday from the attorneys on behalf of the applicant, Sergovic Carmine Professional Association. And the letter reads, please accept this letter as our formal notice that we hereby withdraw the reference application on behalf of our clients, Old Town Point LLC. Notwithstanding its withdrawal of case 1677, it intends to explore its opportunities to file a modified application in the future. That was signed by John Sergovic Jr. But what we have is a request to withdraw. And if you don't accept the withdrawal by vote, then we're having a discussion.
What has previously, as council normally allowed people to withdraw, I would
typically say. Because there was a public hearing and the applicant has requested a withdrawal, the council has to vote on it.
Okay.
If they had withdrawn it prior to public hearing, then it would have been accepted without your having them have a public hearing.
And they still fall in that category, they got to wait now a year or something like that? No?
If you accept a withdrawal, they could apply at any time and
okay, it's only
get
when they
line
get
and go through the process.
I got you. Now, what was the controversy with Old Town?
The council asked for information from County Engineering to respond to the comments addressed by Axiom Engineering, which was Ken Christenberry,
mm-hmm.
and also from myself to review the files from the previous application 10 years ago, basically, and to verify the statements made in reference to the 4.5 acres, which was the application that we addressed.
Just the area. Okay. All
right. We provided a two-page memo from County Engineering in response to Mr. Christenberry's comments. I provide you two different memos over the last month relating to the history of the project. And Friday in your packet, you received both.
Did anybody ever look at the deed to see if it had an actual restriction on it?
The deed reference, I didn't look at it, I've got it right here. And also, not requested, but the applicants did provide exhibit booklets from Jim Kraft, also the developer exhibit booklet, and also a full set of deed restrictions and covenants.
So they
we have those now.
Right. Okay.
But we didn't receive those. The reason I didn't go forward with just presenting the discussion was a request to withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
We need to resolve whether.
Okay.
I make a motion to withdraw it.
I have a motion to accept the withdrawal
yes.
request. Is
second.
There a second? Motion and a second. Any discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Take care of that part.
Thank you, Mr. Lane.
Takes care of that one, doesn't it? Anytime we get rid of something, do it.
Back again?
Maybe.
Short trip.
On the second item I have, or we have, I should say, is a discussion for commercial zoning district proposals. In your packet Friday, I believe you were provided with a memo from Paul Driscoll, which was addressed to Dave. And it made reference to zoning districts that permit commercial uses, made reference to that the council should give consideration to a possible two additional districts, B2, C2, and also made reference to reference to a business professional district. And the purpose of today's meeting was to discuss that proposal. As you're aware, over time, with your involvement in zoning issues, and through your year, almost year and a half now of holding public hearings for the new members, and George forever in advance for quite a while. We've had a mess of commercial application for B1, C1, then we had application for CR1, which was an amendment from the original C1. It appears that there may be time now to give consideration to amending those commercial districts and allow or to provide for a more restrictive commercial districts that individuals could apply for.
There were no ordinances submitted, were there?
Pardon?
There was not an ordinance submitted.
No, there wasn't. We needed to get direction from council to, as to which way you prefer to go.
I think Mr. Vincent was one of the ones, along with Mr. Cole, that had this vision. Do you have anything to offer?
Well, I guess I've read through this weekend. I think I understand it. The one first question I guess I have, one of the things I was hoping we could do, and maybe we can't, maybe our attorney can tell us that, but one of the things you hear, at least I hear, from constituents is when somebody comes to get a change of zone, and they're going to, you know, I want to change the zone to whatever it is because I want to build a XYZ. And once we permit the change of zone, if they decide to not build XYZ and build something else, as long as for that zoning, they can do that.
Right.
One of the concerns I had was there a way or was there a zoning district we could create that would, you have to present what you're going to build, and if for some reason that changes, then that zoning disappears. It reverts back to what it was before.
And basically you're establishing
almost like a conditional use on, as I referred to, on steroids, but the same kind of a, you know, something where they could get, but it's for a specific thing. If you don't do that specific thing, because that's what I hear a lot of time from people who live around the areas, is that, you know, it's okay, I'm okay with what they want to build, but once you change that zoning, if they decide not to build it, or for some reason they have to sell it to someone else because they can't afford it, you know, the zoning continues on forever. Mm-hmm. And is there a way to create a zoning district that we could do some of those things, but that it would revert back to what it was if you don't do it?
The only thing in the regulation that we have now, and everything I've never seen, is a district, zoning district that did that. But a conditional use process is how that works. You apply for a specific item. If you don't build it, you don't build it, or you cease to use it for that purpose, then it becomes void, and somebody would have to reapply for whatever the use was intended in the future. We've had the same problem with, because we got really specific on conditional uses, and we said it was for an orthopedic surgeon's offices, then that's all they could do. They couldn't come in and do
chiropractor.
A chiropractor. Right. We've had that issue.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Chiropractor couldn't be used by somebody else. We had that problem.
Or we had number of employees and hours of operation. That's where we get awful bogged down. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
That was, I guess, kind of one of my things behind even talking about this. Was there a way to do that? Because it seems like from most of the time from the public, one of the top two things you hear, maybe the top thing, is I'm okay with what they want to do, but if they decide to change their mind once you've rezoned it, we got no control over it.
Right, not sure.
That's what you...
Right.
I guess my thought was not to just keep doing, and maybe that's what we got, not just keep doing a lot of conditional uses.
Right.
Just forever and ever, but whatever, I don't know.
We've been criticized for, in the past, not so much lately, but we have been criticized, right, Lawrence, because we are so generous with these conditional uses when we have zoning categories.
We were criticized by the court.
Courts, right.
For abusing the conditional use process by allowing too many conditional
right.
uses.
Now, when I travel, to follow up on Mike said, when I travel around different states, different counties, I see many times, I'll see a sign in front of a piece of property, and it'll say, zone commercial / hotel. You know, in other words, or a motel or something, or a commercial / restaurant, you know, type of thing.
That would
so
be very good.
That would be one way of breaking down in some general categories, and then there could be a catch-all category or whatever, but that would actually specify. So if somebody comes in with, you know, a conceptual plan and it says we're going to put a restaurant facility, people, I got no problem with that. you know, we could approve it as they get a B1, and so it could always change hands, always be commercial, but you basically have to be in the food service business. Otherwise, if you change it and went to Home Depot or something, you would have to come back in for a change. The other way, and this would be a question ever, we have people coming up here right now currently with our system, and they give us a presentation, do a lot of drawings, do a lot of engineering work, do all kinds of things to convince us this is what they're going to do, but they want to change the zone. And as Mike said, they could walk out, market change, whatever. There's a whole list of things that they could do. Is there a way to tie the applicant's testimony with the change of zone? Can we say when a guy comes in and makes that application for mini storage, which everybody says, well, that's not going to be much traffic. Even DelDOT says, you know, it's minimal impacts, et cetera, nobody has a problem. And then he goes out, or it sits idle for many years. Could we tie the zoning change? Like, I think it's a blend of the conditional use and our actually change of zone. Can we do that? Is that legal? Do they do that elsewhere?
I'm not sure that we can do that, quite frankly. I'd need to research, see if we could. But one of the things that these proposals are trying to do is limit, with a B2, things that are similar use, so that if, for example, if say a grocery store, a small community type store, that the other use in B2 would be very similar, mm-hmm. as opposed mm-hmm. to maybe a service station, something like that. And one of the other things that Mr. Lank has on his proposal here, the last page, is also maybe a business professional use in certain areas.
Definitely.
Because many towns already have those. If you look at the town regulations, where there'll be professional use. So when someone goes in, a lot of the neighbors aren't concerned with certain uses there. And I think that addresses a lot of what I've heard said before.
Right. A lot less heartburn.
Well, what we need to do, I think, is find out, is there a consensus to do this? If there is, then maybe get a workshop and then get some direction, find out how we want to do it, because there's probably three different ways or four different ways to skin the cat, and I just think it's a long time coming. It would relieve a lot of the conditional use requests. It would also relieve a lot of the angst in neighborhoods when we change a zone, and they see the list of things that are appropriate. And
is there any objection to Mr. Cole's proposal? If not, we'll consider the consensus is to have a workshop on this.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
But I would say I would follow that up with Lawrence. Try to come up with a couple different ways of doing it. Maybe, you know, look to some Maryland counties, look to out of state. I don't care what you do, but it give us a couple, you know, three or four choices of ways other jurisdictions have done it, and then maybe we can package it for Sussex County and how we think we can deal with it. And that way we just aren't going to start shooting from the fly.
Yeah.
Well, one thing you have to realize is that the B1's not going to change unless you make changes to the B1 to pull uses out of it, because it's already enforced. C1 is the same, but it is a closed district, so we can't create anymore.
Right.
We just created a CR2 a year or so ago, and it limited basically the exact same thing as C1, except we took residential uses out because we saw Route 1 was all of a sudden being inundated with multifamily uses where it's owned commercial. Right. And then we were having to create more commercial to be able to support that residential uses. So we're talking about possibly two or three districts we may have to. Well, we need to review all these uses.
And you tell us, tell us if we do this, is that you're going to have to change this and this if we go that way. So that's why I'd like to find out how could we achieve what maybe Mike is thinking about and any of the others, and do it with a minimal amount of change.
But you also need to look at not just the uses, the conditional uses that are in the same district, and also the special exceptions. And it's notary in Paul's comments, that asphalt plant, concrete plants are special use exceptions. He says they're permitted, but they are permitted only if you go
only
to the Board of Adjustment.
Okay,
so it is a public hearing process.
Mr. President, let me modify my request then. My request should be that the urban or planners do this, not Mr. Or urban research. Let them put together a workshop for us with the parameters of what would be needed to be done. And that way, because Lawrence isn't going to have time, that way it will get done faster. And
and the workshop would probably include the P&Z Commission.
Exactly. Yeah, that'd be a good
input. Our fault.
That'd be a great idea to have it out at the West Complex.
Over lunch in a few weeks.
Yep.
As soon as our land use planner can get his papers together. Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Lank.
Thank you.
Mr. Lank, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
The outlets on Route 1, they could be converted to residential 12 units per acre, could they not?
Because they are zoned C1 general commercial, they could come in and apply for site plan approval to convert. Right.
12 units.
Thank you, Mr. Lank. Grant request, Ms. Webb.
Thank you. First one today, the American Cancer Society.
Market's changed now. They won't do it.
That's a new request, isn't it?
Yes.
Have we had it before? Or?
No, we've had, I think for this, or for what they're doing in this event, we have typically supported the Relay for Life in different communities across Sussex County.
Is this not that?
Okay, this is a new event, making strides against breast cancer.
Where?
It's going to be held in Georgetown. Walkers. Oh, it is a walk.
$100 each?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. $100 each, Council.
Yes.
Motion is second by Mr. Benson, Mr. Cole. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Yes.
Motion.
Thank you. The Milton Theater.
Yeah, they are in desperate need of a roof. I'd like to contribute $2,500.
There a second?
Second.
$2,500 from Ms. Deaver's account. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Yes.
Motion.
Beach and Bay Cottage Tour.
I'll make a motion. We give $500 to the Sussex South Coastal Library's Beach and Bay Cottage Tour benefit.
Second.
Motion is second. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
The Greater Seaford Chamber of Commerce.
Motion to give $250 from my account.
Second.
Motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And the Delaware Burn Camp.
Last year we gave them, they held that at Camp Barnes.
Yes.
We gave, I think,
$2,000.
Okay, so $2,000.
It was $500 each for four because it was the end of the fiscal year. And,
mm-hmm. And you were out of money.
Yes, I had no money.
So let's get, what is that?
$400 for each Japanese district.
Okay.
Yeah.
So move.
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion. All opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Introduction of proposed ordinance.
Mr. President, there are none.
Additional business brought before council, there is none. I'll entertain a motion to recess to executive session for personnel pending potential litigation and land acquisition.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.